I'm Joyce D, and I'm an addict. And I'd like to thank CPRCNA for allowing me to stand up here and share my experience, strength, and hope with no matter what. You know, I have to break my ice because, thank you. When I was asked to lead this topic, and I agreed, but when I heard I was sharing with Bob Cree, I knew the crowd he's going to bring, right? I'm just saying for me. And so all the while, I wasn't really nervous, you know, but I started hyperventilating, right? But I know it's going to be okay, with or without my permission, you know, because I do serve a God, and I understand it's going to take me through, you know, and I always ask him to speak the words to me that I can't deliver, so I am ever so grateful. My home group, it is Work High and Why. I'm from Central Maryland area. I have a sponsor that has a sponsor, and I also have sponsees in my life that when I go through things and I don't have my sponsor available, I can get in touch with them. One thing I do know, I can always pick the phone up and get some help. But I'm going to just tell you a little bit about myself. It started at the end for me. Because if I tell you about the beginning, it's about a sibling that was staying in my household. But she came over my house and I was holding drawers for somebody else. And she knocked on the door and she wanted something. And when she came in, I gave her what she wanted. She sat around, but she went into the bathroom. So when she went into the bathroom, she stayed for a long time. And so I knocked on the door, and I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, no, you don't want to come in here. No. And so, you know, I proceeded to sit down, you know what I mean, and smoke my marijuana. But then half an hour, 45 minutes, I knocked on the door again. I'm like, what are you doing in there? Come out of there. So, you know, and she was like, no, you don't want to come in here. And so I said, open the door. And so when I opened the door, I was like, well, what are you doing? She said, no, this is not for you. You don't need this. And what I'm trying to tell y'all, the next day, I had no dope, no nothing. My sister had smoked all of it, right? And I had got addicted to crack cocaine. And I had walked downstairs to try to get in my car to go to work. And I was trying to decide whether to go to work or come back upstairs and get just one more. You know what I mean? And so the scary thing about it is, you know, I never knew that something that small, that white, could control my life like it did. You know, had me crawling on the floor, looking for nothing. You know what I mean? Standing on the corner, you know, because I was the back door addict that hid. You know, my mother didn't really knew what I was doing, but I always told on my sister. You know, they catch me out of trouble. And so I was the good child. But lo and behold, you know, at my end, which I was standing behind a trash can. I had just copped the last piece. And I was at the petty stage that I didn't want to share none with nobody. And I was ducking behind cars and hiding from my mother that she was home in bed, not even looking for me. And it was the paranoia that the drug had for me. And so anyway, I didn't have anything to hit off, and I went into the trash can, and I grabbed the can out, and I commenced to put holes in the can and put ashes and everything on it. And as I started to hit the can, I put the can up to my mouth, and the beer came down the side of my mouth, and ants came out of the can. But you can say all you want to, because when I wiped that shit off my mouth, I took my head back, I hit my shit, and I was all right and off to the race. You know what I'm saying? And I'm talking about being at the bottom, you know what I'm saying? You know, of that disease, and I knew that I needed some help, and I went into treatment, you know, and I got some help, and I remember y'all telling me that, you know, get a sponsor, go to meetings, you know, work the 12 steps of the program, you know, and no matter what, don't pick up. You know what I mean? No matter what, no matter what you do, no matter what you're going through, just don't pick up and get high. You know, and I did that, and but in the midst of y'all telling me about my disease, I was sitting in the back of the room, and I wasn't listening, you know, to what was going on, because for real, I had a marijuana problem. I mean, I had a crack problem, and marijuana wasn't, you know, something that I had to worry about, so I thought, you know, and when you told me about going back to the neighborhood, you know, dealing with those same people, that part I wasn't listening. And I went around the corner in my neighborhood to show them how good I look, how much weight I had gained, and, you know, and I wanted to bring them back with me to let them know that they ain't had to do this, right? But, of course, you know what happened. I end up getting high with them all over again. You know, so when they tell you in this information about things we shouldn't do, you know, you need to follow it, you know, and I didn't. But anyway, so coming back again. You know, on another run, I listened to what y'all told me. You know, I got a sponsor, you know, and I started working the steps. And for me, the first three steps was my foundation for something to stand on. And because they told me if a strong wind came by and I didn't have those first three steps, you know, I would probably go back, you know, using again. And so I focused on them. You know, first of all, I didn't know I was powerless and my life was unmanageable, you know, because doing the things that I did, you know, acting the way I was acting, you know, that I had a disease, you know, of active addiction. And so no matter what, you know, I mean, I, you know, got in touch with, you know, what was going on with me, and I sat still. And I remember going to this meeting, and it was this guy, he was a biker, his name was John, and they called him Big John. And I was sitting on the front row, and, you know, they was sharing about, he was sharing about, you know, his transition through this process. And so after he finished, I raised my hand, you know, because I had an answer to cancer with no cure. And so when I, when he was saying something anyway, so when I raised my hand, he told me, put your hand down. Shut up. We want to call on you. You know, if I want to get high, I'll call on you. You know what I mean? And I looked at him, you know, and I put my hand again, and he said, shut the fuck up. I'm 4'11", right? And I got a little people complex. And I looked at him. Really? Right? So after the meeting, I met him outside. And I said to him, you told me to shut the fuck up. And he was like, ma'am, please keep coming back. You know, more will be revealed. You know what I'm saying? And I knew I couldn't beat him, right? And I went on, you know, about my business. But, you know, anyway, you know, through this process, I ran into some situations where, you know, I never thought that, you know, I would get to the point, you know, where, you know, by working the 12 steps and going to meetings and, you know, getting with my sponsor, that with that foundation I was talking about, that it would come up in an opportunity that I really needed it. You know what I mean? And so I went on a trip to Jamaica, and I was on a cruise, and I'm having a nice time, and I got a phone call. And with that phone call, my son called me and said, that my mother had just had an aneurysm. And now I'm on the water far out, and I couldn't do anything, you know. And I was like, well, you know, what do you want me to do? Ma, you need to come home. You know, you need to handle this. Nanny might not live. You know, and all that started building up in my head. And you know how the disease take me. You know, I have codependency issues. I have control issues. And all of a sudden, I was like, I can't, what am I going to do? You know what I mean? I got to fix this. You know, I need to be there. And so I went to the captain's office, and I, you know, I talked to the captain and asked him, what can he do to help me? You know, I need to get off this, you know, the ship. My mother, you know, is not doing real well. You know, she might, you know, be somebody, you know, she might pass away. And he was like, well, ma'am, I can only give you a couple opportunities. And so I was like, well, what is one? He said, well, you can take a helicopter off the ship and And so I said, well, how much would that be? And he said, oh, that's $1,000, right? But at this time, I'm in desperation, right? So I said, okay, I can do that. So he said, well, I'll give you a call, and I'll let you know. And so I guess 15, 20 minutes later, and he's like, Ms. Dagg, and I was, yes, he said, I'm here to tell you there's nothing I can do, right? I was like, what do you mean there's nothing? I have to get off this ship. I have to go home. You know, they're depending on me. And he was like, there's nothing I can do. You know, and so I just, you know, put my head down and I started crying. You know, I was really going through it. I went one side of the deck to the other side of the deck. Now, you got to remember, there was alcohol enough to kill a horse on that boat. You know what I mean? And in my mind, to make me feel better, to take away the pain I was going through, you know what I mean? Just one drink. It would fix it. Just one drink would take away the pain. You know what I mean? But guess what? No matter what, I did not. You know what I mean? I did not take that drink. You know what I mean? It was not important for me to take away from the time that I had gathered because of a situation that I had no control of and I could not change, nor could I fix it. You know what I mean? And then, you know, as time passed, 2 days later, you know, I got home. You know, she was on a ventilator, and everything worked out the way it is, you know, because like I told you, with prayer, you know, sitting still, with meditation, God will work anything out. You know, I can't, you know, try to run, you know, or deliver anything, you know, with me trying to do it, because I have to allow Him to do it. You know, I know that getting high, you know what I mean, it's not going to change. It's going to make the situation worse than it already is. You know, I know that, you know, through this process, you know, it's going to be okay, you know, one way or another. You know, because I didn't come this far, you know, to lose and to give away, you know, the time that I have. Because I know I'm here not only to help myself, but to help somebody else. You know, my God and my understanding, and Narcotics Anonymous, you know, they say it's never alone. So in order to keep this, you know what I mean, I have to share my experience, strength, and hope with somebody else and let them know that, you know, this thing does work with or without my permission. You know, and with my issues as my shortcomings, you know, I have attitude. You know, I'm angry, you know what I mean? And anger comes from fear, you know. In a situation, I was at my job of 21 years at Safeway. You know, I've been there for such a long time that I watch you people steal my product. And what I'm saying is my product, my store. Right, and I used to play security. Not only was I a cashier, but I was a security. You know, and I used to watch the product go in and out of the store. You know, and I used to catch you, and I would approach you, right? And you know, and I was Miss Safeway. You know, if it was 3-4 feet of snow, I would get in my truck and I would go to work. You know, if somebody called out, I would get on the phone, ask them do they have some available, and I would go to work. But, you know, God had a plan for me, and I need to understand that through this process, you know, change I must or die I will. You know, and most of the time, when I tell you about my control issues, if I can't make it happen the way I want it to happen, I get upstairs in my head and the disease will talk to me. And this opportunity came, my son was robbed, and I woke up that morning and my son had 50 stays in his head. And usually the mother that I am, I want to fix it. And so what I want to do is, you know, asking him questions, what happened, you know, what's going on, you know, what you going to do about it. And he was like, Mom, no, just go to work. You know, and I know this program also tells me to sit still. You know what I mean? Pray to God in my understanding, because it's something that goes on in my head that'll tell me if I don't calm my mind, that disease will tell me to cause harm. And I'm a reactor. You know what I mean? And so I got myself together and I went to work, and all the time in my head, disease was like, you know you need to get him. You know you need to find out what happened to your son. You know, you need to get on the phone and make some phone calls. And I went to work, and to make a long story short, there's this guy on the front end, you know what I mean? We have had problems going back and forth, having disagreements. You know, he was more on the biblical, spiritual side, but he was always loud, always causing problems on the front end and not taking his inventory, but he was a mess. And once, you know, so I was in the back of the store, Miss Safeway in the back, you know, taking care of everything. And I said, you know, Michael, if you need some help, call me on the front end and I'll come up, you know, and help you. Just take the customers and put them in the other line and I'll take care of it. And so I came up, he called me, I came up front, the line was all the way back into the produce department by him talking and jabbering, you know. And I was like, Michael, why didn't you call me? Well, I was talking and a customer said for you to come up here right now, just go on down there and pull the customers. And so remember, I already told you that the disease was in my head because of the situation that happened at home, right? And I had not really, really prayed about it to let God take the feeling and emotion away. So if Michael wasn't going to get it, somebody was going to get it, you know. And so when I came up front and he got the jabbering, and so one thing led to another, and we started going back and forth, passing messages. And I said something to him. I said, Michael, next time, just follow direction. Follow, you know, do the protocol what I tell you to do, what you tell me to do. I said, Michael, just get on the loudspeaker and call me so we can take care of the customers. I don't have to do what you got to say, right? I'm not thinking that the disease is speaking through Michael, right? And so now I'm getting caught up, and the disease said, you know what to do, right? And so I went to go around, right, and pull the customers down. And he said, furthermore, you know, you don't be telling me what to do. You not my boss, right? And so I was like, Michael, I don't have to go through that. And I put my hand up, right? And Michael hit my hand. When Michael hit my hand, I forgot about my time. I forgot what was going on. I stepped back like Mike Tyson, put my hand up, right? And I went and looked up and I said, cameras, right? Remember, I used to work for HR also, and it said zero tolerance in the store, right? And so managers came out, customers was yelling, you know, about what was going on, and they pulled us in the office. You know, by me being Miss Safeway, you know, you need to understand I wasn't going to get in no trouble because I got this, right? And the assistant manager said, Miss Daggett, we need you to punch out, and we need him to punch out, and we need you to go home. And security called me the next day, and they said, I need you to go to unemployment and sign up for unemployment because it doesn't look too good. And I need to let you know that we'll call you when we're ready for you to come back to work. You know, and I'm telling you, this is 21 years, you know, working for this company, and I would lose everything. You know what I mean? And I went home, and I called my HR representative, and I spoke to her, and I told her what was going on. She said, did you hit him? And I said, no. She said, did he hit you? I said, well, he just knocked my hand down. And she said, and what did you do? And I said, I got up in the stand like Mike Tyson. She said, did you swing on him? And I said, no. She said, did you cuss foul language on the front end? And I said, yes. And so she said, I need you to write a statement. I work for the union. You don't write no statement. But by me being in this program and you people telling me to be honest, I told on myself, word for word, verbatim, right? And she called me back and said, you know, I think you might lose your job, right? And so I was really, really, you know, scared to death. You know, I started crying, you know, and I really prayed real hard for my God and my understanding, you know what I mean, to deliver me through this process, man, because, you know, I need to understand, I don't care how Miss Safeway I am, how much security that I am, when them people say zero, zero is what they're talking about, you know what I mean, and I forgot all about that, you know, and for 3 weeks, I stayed home, And so what I did was I got on my knees, man, and I prayed to my God, my understanding, and I asked God to please, please help me. You know, if you take away the money, you take away everything, you know, that would allow me to get my job back, you know, that I would do better, you know, and I would never do it again. And so when I did that, man, next day I got a phone call, you know, after that three week wait, and they called me and she said, if the situation will occur again, what would you do? And I was like, I would, you know, take the customers, take them in another line, and, you know, go in the office and handle the situation, you know, and talk to security. And she would say that was a, you know, good answer. So I had to write a statement, you know, saying that if it ever occur again, that I would lose my job. Now, again, you know, no matter what, I have to understand that the disease is cunning, baffling, and powerful, right? And sometimes it don't have nothing about doing, putting drugs inside of me. It's my action, and my behavior, and my demeanor, right? And I was down at self-checkout, and this young lady, 25 years old, came down and took a bag off the rack. And I said, ma'am, the bag is 5 cents in Montgomery County. You'd have to pay for plastic bags. And she said to me, what, you calling me a thief? I said, ma'am, no. I'm just saying 5 cents is how much the bag costs. You know, but if you don't want to pay for it, no, I ain't paying for the goddamn bag. Who do you think you are? Right? Now, remember, I told y'all that I already signed a piece of paper saying that I can't get no more trouble. And so Punk got into me then, right? And I'm like, ma'am, don't worry about it. Here, I'll give you 5 cents. Don't worry about that, right? And she was like, no. You stepped out there, you're going to handle your business. Where's your manager? Manager, where's your manager, right? And I'm like, ma'am, please. You know what I'm saying? Please, right? So the manager came and he was like, Ms. Dagg, what's going on? And I was like, well, you know, I told a young lady the bag was 5 cents. So he said, what, you acting out again? What did I tell you? Come in my office. So now, right, I'm thinking, oh, my God, you done did it again. Your mouth. My sponsor, time and time again, tell me, mind your damn business. Why do you always think that you can run shit? This ain't your job. This job belongs to Safeway. Do what you need to do to get you through this process and leave people the hell alone, right? And I hear all of this, right? I'm mad now. Damn, Pauline, what you keep doing? So he said, punch out, go home. And I went home, right? And the next day, HR called me and said, you know, come back to work. You know, that you need to understand, you know, you need to keep your mouth closed. You need to do what you're supposed to do. You are an excellent worker, Ms. Daggett, and I see it all in your paperwork. But what I find out with you is you don't think before you speak. You know what I mean? You react to a situation that has nothing to do with you. You know, in your paperwork, it tells you that I can depend on you. I don't have to worry about the store when it comes to you doing an exceptional job. I know you're going to show up. You know, I know you're going to do what you need to do. But it's that mouth of yours that keeps you in trouble. You know, and, but I'm going to give you your job back. That was my God of my understanding, man. One more time. You know what I mean? And when I talk about the no matter what, man, no matter what I think my decision making is, I need to understand that God is in charge. He is the ultimate, not me. You know, in the program, I always talk about, you know what I mean, when I get in my shortcomings and my character defects, I need to check myself, you know. And so I was also asked by my sponsor, maybe you need some therapy. You know, maybe you need something besides the program that can help you. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they talk about this disease of, you know, dual diagnosis. And I always say, I ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm not crazy. You know what I mean? But I got to remember the things that I did crawling around the floor, being out all night, you know what I'm saying, doing the things I did, you know, when I was using, you know what I mean? That maybe that was an opportunity that I need to check myself. You know, and I did that, you know. And it's the best thing that ever happened to me. You know, fear for me is standing up, again, as I tell y'all, in front of a lot of people, because I think that I'm not going to say the right thing. You know, even though I've been around here, you know, a long time, you know, my insides tell me that I'm not good enough. Yeah. You know, and this is a part of me from my ego and my image that tells me that, you know, I'm not worthy to do this type of thing. You know what I mean? But I know I can because I'm doing it. You know, even though it hurts, you know what I mean? You know, and when I hear, you know, the old timers that has brought me here stand up and talk and say within their heart, you know what I mean, you know, what's going on with them, regardless of what anybody say or what anybody do, they say it, you know what I mean, and they get through it and get on the other side. You know, I love this program, man, and without this program, you know, I don't know where I'd be. You know, this program has allowed me to find myself. You know, I've heard that, you know, it's people that go to their grave that don't know who they are. You know, and thank God through the 12 steps of this program, you know, I'm doing that. If you're here, you know, and you're new, you know, keep coming. Yeah. You know what I mean? This is the best thing going. You know, I always remember, and I tell people all the time, when my son called me a crackhead, I never thought in my wildest dream that this crackhead would become somebody and identify into the program to know that I don't have to be that person ever, ever again. You know? And I can deal with rejection, and I'm going to get my heart broken. You know, I'm going to lose jobs, and, you know, this program talks about, you know, just not using, you know, not picking up, you know, that we're not going to always get our family back. You know what I mean? Your parents are going to say, you know, they're going to hide their purse. You know what I mean? You're not going to get keys back again. You know what I mean? And no matter what, though, I don't have to use. You know, that's what this program tells me. If I don't pick it up and put it in me, you know, I know everything is going to be okay. You know what I mean? I thank you, you know, of allowing me to, you know, to share my experience, strength, and hope the best that I can. And I'm hoping that I help one person, just one person, you know, through this process. Thanks for letting me share.